Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The U.S. House of Representatives is set to vote on the impeachment articles against President Trump. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, announces the manager, seven, that will be put forward to prosecute this case before the U.S. Senate. Gene Healy, Vice President at Cato Institute, joins us to talk about then what. Gene, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
So, Gene, we've played this cat and mouse wait and see game. I think the impeachment actually took place on December 18th. We have the articles. Now, Nancy Pelosi has announced these managers, several lawyers in the group, one former chief of police, Val Demings, from the city of Orlando. So where do we go from here now?
Well, tonight, apparently, there's going to be a, what they call an engrossment ceremony where the articles are transferred. And in fairly short order, we're going to begin at least the initial presentations. We're not going to see witnesses, if we see witnesses, until after the managers make their case and the president's attorneys respond. That was the deal, so it's sort of mystifying what the point of this near month-long constitutional limbo was for the articles, because we're going to go ahead and it looks like we'll have a trial, but a lot of the details remain to be worked out.
Is there a possibility, and I know a lot of folks are asking questions, once the managers make their opening statement, for lack of a better term, to the Senate? Of course, senators are not allowed to ask any questions. Is there the possibility of kind of narrowing the scope from that point moving forward if there is not the consideration just based on the opening statements?
Well, almost anything is possible at this point. You know, the Constitution doesn't say much about what a Senate trial is supposed to look like. You have about 9 pages of Senate rules. But this is only the third time we've done this in U.S. history with the president. So in a lot of ways, you know, even though we had one 21 years ago, with any Senate trial of a president, you're writing on a blank slate. So we'll have to see what happens. I think it's unlikely that the entire thing will be dismissed after the initial presentations. Some of the reports are that there may be enough Republican votes to have witnesses. And in fact, Politico reports today that Senator Ted Cruz is pushing McConnell on the idea of reciprocity of witnesses where Republicans might get to call people like Hunter Biden, and Democrats would get to call folks like former National Security Advisor John Bolton. So this could be pretty entertaining.
I know that the in their press conference this morning, Adam Schiff talked about the difficulties and not wanting to wait for things to meander through the court system as to whether or not there were privileges that can be taken. They've tried to get Don McGahn, executive counsel, before the House committees. They're anticipating that that may take up to a year to meander through the courts. Is that all playing into this situation as well? I mean, you know, obviously the president says he's going to claim executive privilege relative to John Bolton. This whole reciprocity issue is that they may end up litigating this anyway, and that might give Cruz and others what they desire, the ability to talk to the Bidens through this process.
Well, I think waiting for the Supreme Court on this, even with the McGahn case, I don't think the timing of that's going to work out. The president can claim executive privilege. But as we've seen in the House proceedings, that doesn't necessarily mean that the administration official or former administration official can't testify. It's a there's really no good enforcement mechanism for that. So if, for example, John Bolton, appears in the Senate trial, as he said he's willing to do, President Trump can claim privilege as to those conversations, but it's really up to Bolton whether he's going to, do what Donald Trump wants him to do. And, with John Bolton, he may be a little bit upset and miffed that he's been left out of recent international hostilities. So maybe he wants to get back at President Trump.
So when we think about that, the Supreme Court Justice John Roberts will be presiding, is there any are there any details about how intrusive he can be in this process?
Right. Well, it's a funny role for the Chief Justice. We saw that two decades ago with Chief Justice Rehnquist. He really presides rather than runs the court. So he can make evidentiary rulings, but the precedent and the Senate rules are that a majority vote of the senators can overturn those rulings. So, Chief Justice Rehnquist, when he presided over the Clinton impeachment trial, shortly afterwards, he was asked to assess his role, and he said, I did nothing in particular, and I did it pretty well.
Because I think there's an expectation and an anticipation amongst, not only my listening audience, but the folks across the country that they expect that the Chief Justice would have a broader role and be able to rule with a kind of an iron hand over this proceeding and make sure of any number of things similar to what you see in a courtroom. But that's not necessarily the case then.
No, it's almost certainly not going to be the case. As I said, they can he can make evidentiary rulings, and the Senate, if a majority of senators don't like them, a senator can object, and then there's a vote. And so his writ is not law as the presiding officer in a Senate trial of the president. In fact, I think Chief Justice Rehnquist at the Clinton trial made really only one ruling, and it was about whether a House manager could refer to the senators as jurors, and Rehnquist's ruling was no, he shouldn't refer to them as jurors, because in actuality, the Senate, in the full Senate, is the court in an impeachment trial. I would not expect.
So this Justice is like Roberts, this is more like a judge trial then, and you have an actual judge sitting there. Almost ceremoniously.
It's not going to be Judge Wapner or Judge Judy ruling the roost there. At least that's what we should expect from precedent here.
So we're talking to Gene Healy, Vice President at the Cato Institute. Gene, one of the other things that seems to be complicating this whole process, unlike Clinton and unlike in the Nixon case, The articles of impeachment were presented as a result of an independent investigative body, special counsel or others, that presented evidence to them as opposed to having congressional hearings in order to collect and gather the evidence, correct?
Right. So in the Clinton case, you had most of the investigation outsourced to a special prosecutor, Ken Starr. So by the time you got to House impeachment hearings, you had a full evidentiary record, depositions, cartloads of boxes of documents. That is not the case with the House impeachment hearings in the Trump proceedings. Because of some of the president's claims of executive privilege or non-cooperation, you have a number of key fact witnesses that were not deposed, did not testify. And the line from Republicans when we were in the House was, he should get all these protections. It's like a full trial. That's really not the way it's supposed to work. It's a grand jury. The grand jury would be the analogy. The Senate's where you're supposed to have the trial. Now the script is flipped, and Republican senators say we should go on the highly incomplete record that they managed to amass in the House. So the role of the special prosecutor in the Clinton trial meant that you had a full evidentiary record, and in fact, in the Senate trial, they only called three witnesses, and I believe Lewinsky and others were deposed, and then they watched the videos of it. This is a trial where, there are a lot of facts in dispute.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is that, and I see a little bit of duplicity here in what Adam Schiff says. He's talking about a bipartisan, fair, and just trial. Yet there was really not much that was bipartisan about the investigation. And he ruled with an iron hand and only allowed certain things to happen there and didn't have the benefit of witnesses that they desired to be brought forward or to be interviewed by the so-called grand jury of the House of Representatives. And I just find it a little bit duplicitous that we're asking and begging for the same thing on the Senate side, something that we really didn't deliver on the House side.
Well, if you're looking for hypocrisy anywhere, it's a target-rich environment on both sides.
Yeah.
But if the
that's an understatement.
If the analogy is to a grand jury, though, a lot of these claims about due process and what witnesses should be called, I don't think are really apposite. A criminal defendant in a grand jury has no right to appear before the grand jury, has no right to call witnesses. That's something that's supposed to happen at the trial. So if that's our analogy, you would want to see more due process protection at the Senate trial than you would at the grand jury level.
No, granted, I understand that, but the thing is that the prevailing party in the House, all of a sudden, they de facto become the prosecutor, and the minority party is what?
In the House?
Yeah, I mean, if we use the grand jury analogy, it seems to me that there should have been kind of a bipartisan panel set up, and that they end up negotiating, what witnesses, how they were going to go through the process, this, that, and otherwise, as opposed to just the majority party deciding everything to the detriment of the others. It's almost as if the majority party, because it happens to be the same party as the president, is de facto guilt by association and therefore not listened to in the process.
Well, look, there may have been things that the House could have done to improve the perception of fairness. In fact, they're operating on more or less the same basis once you got to the House Judiciary Committee that the Nixon and Clinton impeachment inquiries were conducted under. And I tend to doubt that the Republicans in the House, the Republicans on the House Judiciary Committee, were going to be assuaged by any concession. Their line was essentially the fix is in, and therefore nobody should cooperate. So I can't imagine it ending up any differently.
Right.
But again, I think it's never been the world's greatest deliberative body. I think James Buchanan came up with that. But, the Senate, because of the longer terms, because of the traditions, is supposed to be able to do a better job than the House did. The House just did in the months of November and December.
I think at the end of the day, we can all agree that this is more of a political process than it is one of a legal process in truly search of the truth. But at the end of the day.
Politics has never been, if you want to see say, a bipartisan impeachment where the letter of all the traditions and letter of the law are respected, you'd need to look at the impeachment proceedings against, like, some obscure federal judge.
Right.
Anytime there's high stakes, politics is always, as in the case of a presidential impeachment, politics is always front and center. And, in fact, the vote in the House, which was almost strict party line on both sides, that's not that different from prior presidential impeachments. Even in the Nixon case, which we look back to as this paradigm case where there's consensus, a majority of Republicans on the House Judiciary Committee voted against every article of impeachment against Nixon, who was clearly guilty.
Right, yeah. So what day are they talking about starting? As Mitch McConnell said, that Tuesday is going to be the day. Did I hear that correctly?
That's what I've heard last, yes.
Okay.
And then it'll be more or less full time from there.
Yeah, they're talking weeks for the presentation of this case by these managers. So it's going to be a long, long process for sure. Gene Healy, Vice President at Cato Institute, thank you so much for joining us. We always appreciate your insight.
Thanks again.
All right, we'll be right back. We want to hear from you, 260-1870 or text 870-870. What are your thoughts? Where's this going? Why? Is it a foregone conclusion? We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.